It's the Social Geeks episode number 46. It's even more creepy. This one's brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. This one we talk everything you want to know about the Instagram purchase, the new UI for Google+, the new app PlaceMe, and a few other odds and ends along the way. Welcome, everybody. It is the Social Geeks episode 46. Everyone has now woken up from South by Southwest. I'm still sleeping. So together, somehow, I don't know how this works, but Robert and Michael are actually in the same computer together. So how does that work?
Yeah, we're in the same room.
Oh, same room.
Yeah, we're just sitting at the same table. Same magic box.
Having sandwiches. And Corvita, live from New York.
Hola.
There she is. All right, here we go. She might be on lag. I think right there it just proved it. I think she might be on lag. We are 2 days out. We're just going to do it. We're 2 days out from one of the biggest, most ridiculous.
I think she is lagging.
She is lagging, but that's okay. She'll say she's not, but one of the biggest, most ridiculous purchases ever done, I would think, and that's Facebook buying Instagram. So, Robert, you were first. Go ahead. Let's hear what you think.
Okay, so by the way, Corvita, I read your blog post on this.
Nice.
And I agree with you for the most part. I think ultimately Facebook, Instagram on some level was a threat to Facebook because they knew what they were doing with mobile. They had a really simple thing, and a lot of what people do on Facebook is look and share images. You know, so here is this company that really honed in on how to do this in a very simple way, and they were just screaming with user growth.
Well, wait,
you know, they went from 15 million. Yeah, sure.
I want you to say so, because Robert's getting into the stats, the numbers, but tell everybody what you said in your article about why they bought them, you know, the two-line summary, because Robert's going in, which is great, but tell everybody why, because he said your article, let everybody know what you said in your blog.
Oh, the two main reasons is because of mobile and just like Instagram, in terms of a mobile experience, that is one of the most addictive apps for the iPhone. Android users have gone crazy for it. I have Windows Phone devices that I can't switch to them until Instagram is made available for that platform. So they have a very sticky experience that you just don't see from Facebook. Like, I'm constantly looking for Facebook app alternatives. I don't know about anybody else, but the Facebook app, their official apps are just buggy, and the experience across the board is completely inconsistent. So they have a lot to learn there from Instagram. And then on the flip side of that, photos themselves are not like a huge deal, but when it comes to content, that's some of the stickiest content that people like to interact with on social networks. So that's a big deal for Facebook. They definitely make photos a prominent thing. And Instagram, in terms of mobile photography, they've totally taken that to a whole nother level, that people have made a hobby out of it now. And what I mentioned in my article is that I have a Canon T2i now because of Instagram, partially because of Instagram. So Facebook recognizes that. That's what they need in their mobile apps. And I think they brought the Instagram team. I'm hoping that they brought them more so for talent than actual interest in taking over Instagram, the app. I don't mind that. But if they're going to take over the app, I have a problem with that. But I think it's a great move for them to buy the Instagram team in terms of talent. And I hope that what comes out of that is a better mobile experience than Facebook apps. And that's what I said in the blog post.
Okay. So Robert, yeah, now I want Robert to be able to go with the stats. Now everyone now has the background of what Corvita said of, you know, why they bought them. So Robert, you were going into the stats and the actual numbers.
Right. So at the end of December, I think Instagram was at 15 million users. When they launched their Android version, what, 6 or 7 days ago?
Yep.
They were at 30 million users. They've added 5 million users since they added the Android app.
They said the first day they had 1 million downloads.
Yeah. First day that
for the Android, they were also, like, I was listening to one of the developers talk about what their growth was, and they, before they had released Android, you know, months before, they were gaining 1 million users every 2 weeks,
right?
And they were just expecting that to double as soon as they went to Android. So,
do you guys think? Do you think the adding of users is not just people because they want to take pictures, but they want to see the pictures their friends are taking?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, that's, I think, is one of the things that's making it viral. And credit to also, you know, Facebook's Open Graph for being able to now have a Instagram photo album. You know, once that change happened, and now people have Instagram photo albums or photo albums for other apps like Path or whatever, I think that also makes it more viral. An app like Instagram, they took advantage of it as soon as it became available. Almost, it's, you know, ultimately, I think Facebook started to see Instagram as a threat in terms of their growth path. Here's this thing that, you know, Facebook is really trying to do photos well, and on the mobile, they have a lackluster experience.
Well, there was a wrapper around it that everyone should be clear of, is that Instagram focuses heavily on where the picture was taken. Have you seen
right.
that? That was something Facebook often missed, is because of their places. Is, I think Ohm said that, Malik, is that it's heavily about where you take the picture too, which then gives geolocation to the photos that Facebook wasn't getting as well.
Right.
I mean, that's a good point, but I would have to say that's less of an interest. Like, I rarely pay attention to where people have posted that they've taken their picture.
Oh, it's not.
Unless it's like some type of monument or something.
No, it's not at the point of whether you did or not. Did you see? Okay, so we're going to put a side-by-side story. The guys that just wrote this algorithm that reads through the photos, and for the life of me, I'll find the article, that reads through photos mm-hmm. and looks at what people tag a photo as. It ignores things like grandpa, grandma, sister, whatever. But if you name anything, it automatically starts being able to geotag your photos. So based upon, picture of, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge, it automatically knows, post this as San Francisco and geotag it. So it starts doing that based upon actual tagging and words and description fields instead of the photo and you having to do it yourself. They've gone in reverse. So apparently geotagging is a big deal if all these companies are getting into it.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Definitely geotagging is definitely a big deal. But I also think that in terms of this deal, this Facebook Instagram deal, in terms of the users don't care as much where the photos are taken. I think it's more of an easy way to kind of scroll through the photos that are there. And Facebook has missed the mark on mobile with that. Like, if Facebook had an app that I could see all the photos that my friends took in one day, that'd be awesome. But, and I think it's ultimately what they saw in Instagram. I expect, and I know they put out this release, both companies put out a release saying that, oh, they're going to keep Instagram intact.
Give it a year.
I think in a year, this will be rolled into Facebook.
No, it'll be rolled in. It won't be a separate app. There's no way. They'll take the capability. And I had one complaint, and then I want Michael to actually talk about it, but Instagram and its damn filters, you know, everybody touts and every cell phone carrier says how we got to upgrade our cameras and we get new cameras and here's a new camera. And then they say, oh, here's filters to make it look like it was 1984.
Right.
And people go, I really want that. And I go, what the? You complain that you have a crappy camera for a year, you get an upgraded camera, and then the first thing you do is put a filter to make the picture look old. So, Michael, you're the photographer of the group. I mean, is that?
I mean, but it's still different.
Different. I could get out the Kodak and do that.
The deal with filters is the fact that, you know, you want to start with a high quality photo, and then you want to move to, you know, people want to stylize things. They want to make it their
exactly.
own. They
all look dingy. Every photo looks dingy now.
But it's crystal clear at the same time. So you can get dingy with the old cameras, but it's not as sharp at the same time.
Okay, go ahead, Michael. Go ahead.
I don't know exactly what she's saying. It's like if I want to blur a specific part of the photo, I can do that now. Like rather than having to worry about, you know, where the pinhole's pointed on an old toy camera. It's simple to, because here's the deal. Every single photo isn't going to be or look good with a certain vintage 1972 Lomo mode. But you know, the next photo that I take in a different lighting condition might look really awesome in that mode. So for people to be able to switch between all of the different presets to determine the way they personally feel that their photo looks the best, I mean, that's the creative aspect you're putting in somebody's hands and giving them an outlet. So that's why they enjoy it so much. I can't replace my Mark II. Like, it just,
right.
I don't actually use Instagram as a photographer because it just, I don't know. It's just, I probably would enjoy it. I just don't get into it. I don't know.
I didn't load it at all. Even on Android, I had never loaded it. I never bit down and loaded it at all. I felt that taking older pictures just sucked. I could share them in other places, you know, Path, Facebook, Flickr. I just had other ways to do it. And loading an app to take a picture for a camera that already takes a picture didn't make sense to me. But I like Robert's point, though, about if I could have an app that showed me all the pictures they took in one day. The problem is that because of so many services, I don't have all of those. There's no way to see every photo that gets taken in one day in one app. There's no view inside of Facebook that shows you that.
Right.
They could have it now. They could say, give me just whatever they're going to call it, but give me Instagram. So we should mention how many people work there and the money.
Right.
Under 20 people, right?
13.
13.
13
actually,
people.
They hired, and they only had six employees up until... I think January.
So wait, the day before, it's like, hey, hire your cousin because tomorrow we're going to make a boatload of money.
So the CEO had 40% of the company.
Yeah, so he gets what?
He gets $400 million.
$400 million. What a shame. What is he like? What is he like? 13 years old or something?
Yeah, and the co-founder had 10%, so he gets $100 million, and. Then you have
10% share between the other employees,
and then there's 10% share between all the other 11 employees.
Oh no!
So and then the rest is split with investors.
Right, VCs.
Yeah, VCs.
So 60% total, 40, 10, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
60% total, and you're going to divide. Let's see, two are taken out of that 13, so the other 11 people have to split 10%. So each get up, you know, a nice cool chunk of change to retire on.
Right.
I got an interesting, you know, question for everybody else.
Yeah.
So one of my friends actually is the creator of Camera Plus, Lisa Bettany.
Yes, and Lisa. Now, lovely Lisa Bettany. She wrote a $1 million application herself.
Right. She's got a partnership with the people who did Tap 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 to do that app. And my thing is what. Why do you think she's definitely not going to have that kind of an exit on her app? If somebody decides to buy her app, that's not going to happen because it just doesn't have the same social aspect. But
correct.
To value something at $1 billion, like when was the last time we heard of a company in the tech sector that sold for $1 billion?
No.
No, never. Not that I know of.
Well, Groupon wasn't Groupon being valued at that, and they backed out of that sale?
Right, because they thought they could get more because they were idiots.
Not yo, like
they said, we can do better. No, you can't. You should have taken the cash and ran.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but it's been a long time. You know, it's been a long time. $1 million is a lot of money.
I want to. Do you think that the phone rang at the Instagram garage at the guy's house, and they said, hey, this is Facebook. We'd like to talk to you. And they hung up the phone and said, these jokers just called saying they were Facebook. And then Facebook had to call back like two or three times. Do you think that happened?
Well, okay, first of all, I heard they were actually looking for another round of funding, a $50 million round with Sequoia. And they were actually in the process of that deal going through when Facebook called. And that round was valued at, the company was valued at $500 million.
Right.
So within the space of when they were working that deal and when Facebook called, the valuation doubled.
And I presume a lot of this isn't cash they're getting anyway, right?
It's cash and stock.
Cash and stock, but that just means that when a Facebook IPOs, they're going to be, you know, they're going to get a better, it's more than $1 billion then.
Yeah, you would hope.
Yeah.
You would hope that, you know, take the cash and stock and run. So I think, and everyone that's starting the apps, and you brought up Lisa Bettany's app, which is cool. It was actually pulled from the app store and then put back in, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she built filters for the iPhone camera and other stuff. They pulled it because it used like volume. I remember it used something that they didn't like. They pulled it and then they put it back. But she made good money. She was pretty honest.
Funny. Yeah.
She was very honest about it on Twitch. She was on Leo's show and she was pretty honest about she made really good money off this app. And it was a great way to go. But like you said, had she had the social aspect in it, could you imagine what it would have done?
The thing is she does, but it's just hidden inside the app. You know, you can share to the Camera Plus site and all of this, but yeah, it just didn't have the follow me on my Camera Plus kind of.
Right. Her focus was the filters.
You couldn't follow somebody. Exactly.
Okay. Her focus was the filters, not the sharing, and the opposite for Instagram. They said, we want to create some photo sharing service that's mobile And that's what Facebook lacks, is a really good mobile photo sharing.
Right.
Okay. Well, so everybody knows, they're not, you can't get in now. It's too late. The deal's done. You can't be the 14th employee at this point. If you had an application in, consider yourself not hired at this point.
Right.
Now, Corvita, are you still there? She said she may have to pick.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now I want you.
Because I'm in New York City and
yes,
it can get pretty noisy here.
Now, this next one's going to scare you, but we might be able to add Wayne Sutton real quick too, because he's pinging me on the side. And we've missed Mr. Sutton, for those that haven't noticed. He hasn't been here in a few. We will drag him in if he says he's available. Because the next story we're going to talk about, Corvita, you thought when we did the live show down at South by Southwest, and what was your favorite mm-hmm. word about all the apps?
Creepy.
Well, we're going to add Wayne in for the 10. We're going to talk about this next one real quick and see if he has anything about it here. So let me drag Mr. Wayne in. He said he's got 10 minutes. Well, that's fine with me. We can do that. We can do anything we want to do with technology today, everybody.
Except do multi-video on Skype.
Well, no, you can, but everybody needs a license for it, and we don't have that. So,
they add this thing, you know, stupid.
Right, you got to pay for it, everyone, and not all of you have it. And there we go. We've just added in the magical Wayne Sutton, I believe. I hear him.
Hello, world. Hello, world.
Hello, Wayne. How are you, man?
So, good. How's it doing?
We're doing great. So we got Michael, we got Wayne, we got Corvita, we got Robert. Wayne, you got like, what, 10 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, your first thing you get 2 minutes to tell us what you think about we just finished the Instagram Facebook deal.
Anything? Okay.
Okay, so, go.
Yeah, I think for the first time, the rumors were saying that Zuck was concerned that, you know, this app, which is 30 million users, which the photos, which kind of propel Facebook to the next level, was that they not could compete, but could make a dent in terms of, you know, Facebook long-term vision. And plus, we know everybody's going mobile. And also, you look at what they were able to do in scale without having basically zero downtime. That team is smart as heck, and to bring them on to Facebook, and then eventually Facebook's going to roll out a brand new app that's going to be completely, you know, leverage the timeline and other new features. So having the Gowalla team, the Instagram team, and they got Hot Potato team before that, they're going to do some interesting things in terms of the future of mobile, local, and social that we've been dreaming of. Along with that technology, new technology for mobile devices, tablets, smartphones in the future.
Are you parking airplanes or something, Wayne? What are you doing?
No. I feel like Caleb right about now. I miss Caleb. I'm at the train station in Santa Clara.
Well, Caleb sent me a note. He's still at the office, so he's at Joyce. Now, do you think they were worth $1 billion?
Man, I have a hard time saying, like, you know, that they were not worth $1 billion. Because if I was in that position and I can get $1 billion, I would take $1 billion too. Well, so yeah.
If they walked up to you now for GoKit and said $1 billion, what would you do?
Oh, sell.
Okay.
So I mean, I think it was smart. I mean, my biggest question now is, what about some of my other friends in the space, Path?
Yeah.
Those guys and some of the other, you know, startups. So Bump came out with some news today that they're now kind of do something in the photo space. What about those startups, you know?
It's not going to happen. Those guys are locked out at this point to me.
Or can they grow? Can they hit the number?
I'm not going to say that they're locked out.
Is this really interesting?
Well, locked out of photos. Go ahead, Michael.
Right. No, I'm not going to count them out for being able to do this. I mean, Facebook's going to have to turn Instagram, you know, into their, they're going to have to bring them into the fold really, really quickly. And, you know, Instagram can continue to build user base there. But if people are upset about the fact that they will eventually roll it into Facebook, and kind of the thing was, is they had their own little network, but that's the way Instagram was. They had their own network, and people liked that it wasn't part of some huge behemoth.
I'm part of that community.
Right.
Path has a very large opening right now, I think, to go in and build their user base up at this point. Private photo sharing with, you know, limited numbers of people.
They're not just photos, because Waddle, if you guys haven't looked at Waddle, they launched at South by Southwest. We met them there. do an amazing photo sharing app that runs on iOS and stuff. It's really spectacular how they do it, security and the models and the sharing, but that's all it does is photo sharing, but it's private. It's not meant to be public. So do you think companies like that are going to, they don't have a chance to be bought by something like Facebook now. They're going to have to fight for that small user base?
Well, it depends. Robert and I were talking earlier today about Path possibly getting acquired by somebody like Google, because Google is, you know, with their Circle technology, or what I'm calling a technology, but basically just private groups, it fits perfectly with the Path model.
Yeah, it does.
So Path or somebody along that lines could go in here, and somebody like Google could buy them because Google,
$1 billion.
$900 million. We'll go cheaper. $900 million is fine.
Yeah, whatever. But, get them a deal.
But here's the thing on that is that, okay, we like Instagram not because, you know, a couple reasons. Okay, just, it was put them in the photo share.
We can't hear Wayne. We can't hear a word you're saying, dude. You are like in a wind tunnel.
Let me go to the corner. Hold on.
Did he say, let me go to a corner?
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Man. Yeah. I'm going to have to edit that out, man. Go ahead.
But with Instagram, it was about sharing, you know, we look at it as photos, but about sharing experiences. And then you guys mentioned earlier, shared experiences
now
with...
No, he's fine.
Oh, okay. You know what? Social Geeks for Life, you guys continue, and I'll leave some notes in the comments on the blog.
I think we're losing weight because now he's fading.
All right.
All right, Wayne, we'll talk to a few. Oh, man. All right. We lost Wayne, everybody, just so you know, because one, he was in a wind tunnel, and then apparently he hid in the corner. All right. You guys still there?
Yep.
So let's go on. Corvita, you ready for this one?
Yep.
All right. So this one came out, and we want to get Corvita's opinion. Corvita, have you looked at Place Me yet?
Place Me?
Yeah, I didn't think she did.
No.
So let's revisit our last episode where we talked about that lovely app Banjo that shows you people that are nearby based upon your other networks, things like that. PlaceMe, Scoble talked about them today a little bit. I talked about them. They actually started...
Oh, yes, yes. That place that was more creepy than Banjo and actually after every move down to the speed that you're going to where you're turning in Walmart so they can know which freaking aisle you're shopping down. That thing is creepy.
Well, you have to install it, so everyone knows. So it's an iOS app. It tracks using the accelerometer. It uses multiple access points trying to find your location. It uses geolocation stuff for check-in. It will check you in if you wanted to, but basically it stores it privately. It's not publicly shared by default. It's off by default. It's only your information. It becomes a living history of places you visit, where you go, what you do. But as Corvita said, it'll also track things like They said they're going to get to the point where they wish they could track temperature changes, as ridiculous as that sounds, but be able to tell you everything about your environment and where you go. And sure, inside of a store or a mall, even, you know, where you were in, because Google now maps malls. You guys have seen that in airports. They'll tell you what stores you went to in a mall if they have access to, you know, either points or GPS, depending on the stuff. So this is voluntarily loaded, though. I'm creepy. Here she goes. Would you guys load this one?
No.
No? No.
This is too creepy for me.
Oh, man. That's that. If that Robert says that's too creepy, everybody look out, because we've moved into, you know, full creep zone at that point. I know Corvita won't. We don't have to ask her. So I'm torn on this one only because, yes, it's private, but it's like a living diary. So you talk about Path, but picture Path without circles, where you're just creating yourself a living diary and history of your digital, you know, your life, where you walk around, what you do. Then you could map and share out things as you wanted to. Remember, imagine never having to geotag a photo because it could do it for you. But then when you share them, then they're public, but they're done. But I mean, it does it for you. So do you guys see it as a diary type application?
I don't know why I would want to know where I was on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, you know, I think people are looking at the technology and just pushing the envelope with this space. And I really do believe that this. Pushing the envelope with the space is not the right thing to do.
Well, I don't think it's good for it, because what's going to end up happening is something bad, or some bad things are actually going to start happening with being able to be tracking people. And
this is really a good example of, you know, just because it can be done doesn't mean it shouldn't.
Can I throw something out there?
Go for it.
Forget your friends. Forget whatever. Picture the spouse that loads this on the phone
Absolutely.
Or the partner on the phone with somebody, it runs in the background. It doesn't have to be in the forefront. That's very clear in their terms of service. I'm going to do a screencast of loading up the app. But it actually could run in the background. And if you didn't know it was in a folder somewhere on the device, it would track everywhere that person goes.
Well, no longer do we need to buy magnetic GPS devices to stick on the back of your spouse's car.
Correct. That's absolutely. I don't think this covers more than that. What if I leave? This actually covers if you park your car at a parking lot, get out and get in someone else's car. This will actually cover it.
Yep.
So okay, well they followed me today. They said because I said what about battery? They said, oh no, we're very low battery power. We just kind of peak every now and then to see where you are, kind of poll. And I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying that either.
Corvita,
No, I'm not buying that for a second.
This is just a government. This is a government application.
It's a government.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw out the conspiracy theory here. This is a government application.
It's a government app. It is a Big Brother type application or the angry spouse. So keep that in mind, everybody. It's called Place Me. Do a search. So if you got iOS. Swipe, swipe, swipe to the side. Go to the part where you can search. Type the word place. If you see Place Me pop up and you didn't load it, you're being watched. We are a public service group. That's our PSA. Let's thank our sponsor real quick because we got another one to talk about. Let's thank our sponsor real quick. Everybody knows GoToMeeting, of course. You've heard about it a bunch, but they have now the HD faces. So if you're trying to do meetings and you are trying to see everybody's face because you need to see them in high def, that is the place to go. We're giving you 30 days unlimited meetings for free. Unlimited for 30 days, meaning you can sit there all day long on meetings, but it's document sharing, it's whiteboarding, it's all the stuff you know, but you've got the tiling Brady Bunch effect where you can put all your friends in one smiling place. You can record everything but the video right now, so you can record all your whiteboarding, screen sharing, all those features. As well, you can save it locally, includes the audio if you want. But the idea is we're going to give you 30 days free. So look at the link in the show notes and use our podcast code, and we will get you 30 full days of HD faces and GoToMeeting free. If you go to sign up from there, great. If not, use the heck out of it for 30 days because I actually use the service and I love the darn thing because we can do, you know, a quick mock-up, throw a document on wherever we need to do. So there you go. We want to thank GoToMeeting for being around last quarter. They are back this quarter as well. And thanks to them for being a sponsor. All right. I got a question for you guys. I got an email today that says, we have got a cool new app for you. And I'm going to tell you exactly what the thing says here because I went, huh? Chris, I wanted to let you know that today we are launching a new social contact app for iPhone, My Face Card. You basically bump phones together. I think it even says bump phones together. Where is it right here? It says, sharing is simple as bumping phones together. So yet another digital card service. And the point is not this app because I know none of us have seen it. But do you guys use any apps like this at all? Do you use Bump? Do you use any of these where you share your contact information this way?
Occasionally I use Bump, but I mean, not that often. Not often enough to really warrant it actually being on my phone.
Yeah, me either.
What about you?
I think when it first came out, it was nice and novel and interesting to have.
Yeah.
But I think now... I've actually resorted to, for stuff like this, I've resorted to using Card Munch on LinkedIn.
Yes, Card Munch is cool, yeah.
You know, so give me your card. I'll snap a picture. I'm done. I'll give it back to you.
Well, think back. There's been Pokens, right, for conferences. Yeah. I've used those. Those are great. I still love Pokens. In Japan, they're huge. I love Pokens. But I have business cards. I'm able to send them as VCF files, meaning I can just SMS them over or email them. The bump technology works quite often. I've seen people actually, I saw someone crack a screen at South By. They actually slammed their iPhones together. That didn't go well. And one of them, you didn't say, oh man, I forgot to tell you guys while we were there. Yeah, they did the bump and they bam, hit him. One of them got a little crack. Oh, it was great. But also the name of this one, My Face Card. You know,
that's asking for, if it actually says bump in the description and they're using the word face, like they're going to get sued.
It says, we are launching, quote, My Face Card, a social contact app for iPhone. And I will scroll down. It says, once you customize your card, sharing is as simple as bumping phones together.
That's, well, first of all, yeah, the technology is already going to be, unless they're licensing it, which I doubt they are.
Doubt it.
They're not going to last very long.
Connected users can call, text, or email directly from the app, as well as instantly update each other of changes by editing their card. So basically, this service will then update your entries in their app the same way. And I think Sarah, who isn't with us tonight, Perez, she actually linked a new service called Sync that's on the iOS that draws, and instead of you having to share, it takes your existing contacts and automatically syncs their social stuff locally, including HD, you know, high def pictures or images as it can. It'll grab their Facebook name. Anywhere you're friend and connected, it automatically syncs all that into your iOS device for you. So it uses your local contacts. You don't have to do any extra work with anybody. But that's a new one that came out as well. So everyone's in this contact space. Reportive got bought. We saw that. We talked about that. Gist got bought. They went to RIM. Reportive went to LinkedIn. All these apps get snapped up because they're contact management systems, but yet none of them take off on the device. That's what I haven't understood yet.
Right.
Well, they don't know how to integrate them. I mean, right now they're just apps. Unless they integrate it with the OS, they're not going to just take off.
One of the older ones was Hello, My Name is E. You could see it as mynameise.com. They're out there. And they used to have a digital card that you could just, you know, share your digital information. And you have multiple cards. So I could have a business one, a social one, a friends one. You could have different cards that you could just send to people, which was cool. It was on the fly. They never took off either. And they had devices that you could actually touch at events that would share it. So once again.
The reason, though, that all of these other ones are going to fail and Bump is going to survive, in my opinion, is even though I don't use Bump that much, is because the actual technology of bumping something together lends itself to a lot of other uses rather than just exchanging contact info. Imagine if you've got your credit card information in your phone with an accelerometer and you go up to a new Coca-Cola machine that has some kind of a sensor that, like, on a vibration will activate. You can buy a Coke by bumping your phone up against the machine.
Well, now you're talking about GoPayGo. We just talked to about these guys at South By. They actually called us after Paul and I did the review of their app on the show. The CEO called us and set a conference call with us because he wanted to talk about what we thought was wrong, as well as things they were enhancing. You will start seeing these guys. They have some big stuff going on, but you'll start seeing them, like you said, at Coke machines everywhere where your phone is your digital wallet.
Right.
And they're live. They're not like Iris, that is an app that doesn't exist yet. GoPayGo is actually out there live. You could use them in Austin at the food trucks.
Interesting.
And you can browse menus. So I'm sitting here, you and I are sitting at the coffee shop. We could browse the menu of the coffee shop. We can place an order either using credits, coupons, or even our credit card. It sends it to them. They have an iPad app that shows it. Then once they say your order's ready, they hit the button, your phone lights up and says, here's your receipt. Your phone is ready. It's GPS located and your charge, go. You walk up to the counter, pick it up.
That's cool.
And it works. We saw it working live at South By with the food trucks. It was brilliant. We sat there in the Bing lot and ordered food from the food trucks.
You know what? I actually, in that same space, I know we're kind of getting off topic, but in that same space, I will find it really interesting to see what happens with all these point of sale systems that, you know, a point of sale system is going to start, you know, it's already an operating system, but it's almost like it's going to have to start accepting applications as if Facebook opened up an application platform. So because all of these new startups around these types of technologies about, oh, just, you know, punch something up on your phone and have it purchased and it'll just be ready and we'll tell you whenever it's done. All of these require custom integration for the point of sale systems right now. So it's going to be interesting to see, because I've got like 3 or 4 apps on my phone that do the exact same thing, but they're not integrated at every location. It's like those people have to go and contract with that local business to integrate that into their point of sale system. I'd be interested to see what happens, you know, in the future with how these apps start interacting with point of sale systems and how easy it will be to start moving your new startup across the nation to let people start using it.
Right. So Corvita, will you load any of these type apps on your phone? Give her a second to get off mute.
Probably not.
See, she won't load those either. Basically, Corvita wants an old flip phone from
Razor.
A Razor that does nothing social, but yet she clamors for the new technology. So, no, I'm curious. You wouldn't trust, or no, I shouldn't say trust. Do you see value or would you trust a device like this that can charge using your cell phone? It takes a PIN number, by the way, the apps we're talking about.
I probably just wouldn't trust it.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I'm just, because the way technology is moving today, I have to be skeptical. Because it wants more information than I'm used to giving. Like, we're moving to that point now where technology is asking you for this information. You're not just, oh, this is what I want to put in my phone. They're asking me for that now. So I would be a little more careful with that.
And you're hearing this straight from one of the top 20 African-American women in technology. Just so y'all know, this is how it works. This is how it works around here. She just said, yeah, they're asking for too much info. So that's a good point. So that'll give us, if we follow that point for the last 10 minutes of the show, do you think that now these apps are, this goes to place me, this goes to the geolocation, it goes to the virtual wallet. Do you think the apps are now asking for too much information to be placed in this device that could easily vanish from your hands?
Pretty much.
She always makes it simple. What about you guys?
I use these apps a lot, and you know, I'm not very worried at whether or not I lose my phone or somebody else gets a hand on my phone, because ultimately I could wipe my phone in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned about that. And I have a password on my phone. Like, you're not gonna guess my password. You know? So you it's gonna be hard for you to get to that information. Most of these apps also have secondary password system for you to do anything in the app.
Right, pins and passwords, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you have a couple different layers of security. So I'm not too concerned about it. I use these apps all the time.
Right, because his password's Robert Murray Me. it's real simple. He makes it real easy for everyone.
He just replaces all the E's with threes.
Yeah, that's it.
He's real fancy like that. So that's a good point is and you guys don't get into this part a lot, and a lot of people on the social side that listen to the show wouldn't see it as much, but you're not only yourself individually, which is a problem, but your company's what they call endpoint management. So the ability to manage your mobile device. And as Robert brought up, can I remotely wipe it? You know, you can locate it, right? You have Locate Me, but can I remotely wipe my application? There's a couple apps that'll do that for you. That if it gets lost or stolen, you could actually go online, and if it connects the internet, you know, you wipe it to destroy the data that's on the device. And that's something that a lot of consumer phones don't have, is that ability for you to remotely kill that phone data, not the phone itself. You can call the phone company, but the data. You won't ever get the SD card. You're not. It's
well, if you got an iPhone, you're covered on that front.
Yeah.
What, Locate Me and wiping it?
You can even set it to where if somebody types in your passcode 10 times wrong, it wipes the phone.
Oh, yeah. Set the passcode and stuff. But I'm saying you don't have the ability just to, if it's out there and they're not using it, you can't send a command to say, wipe my phone.
Absolutely.
You do.
On, is it Locate Me?
No, it's included in the iCloud stuff, right?
It's Apple's.
Yeah.
Oh, iCloud.
Yeah.
Like okay.
The new iCloud, the iOS 5 stuff, you can wipe it or you can find it.
So let's talk about that then. People may not know because you have to enable iCloud.
Right.
So people need to know this is not on by default.
Right.
Okay. So you have to enable iCloud and then set up everything that you want it to do. Locate Me has been around for a while now, which works awesome. And it's very spooky. It's creepy because, I've forgotten my iPad. One time I forgot my iPad. And I'm like, I can't remember which of the two, you know, friends' houses I left it at. And I pulled up Locate Me and I was like, oh, look at there. It's in their backyard. You know, it's... It was creepy, but it was perfect. But it worked perfectly as banjo in reverse is what it was. So, but a lot of your companies can remotely wipe if you've connected your device to your corporate stuff. A lot of them can remotely wipe your device. Just keep that in mind.
Yes.
So Android, BlackBerry now, even RIM has a multi-platform endpoint manager. IBM makes one. They all make one now to control your device and to wipe it out. So it's a cool little thing.
So actually, remote wiping and all this other stuff, what I think is kind of interesting is my roommate got a Sprint iPhone whenever it first came out, I guess. And we tried to take his SIM card out because he was going out internationally. He was going to travel to Israel.
Yeah.
And he was like, how do you open the SIM card slot? I was like, you just stick a little pin in there. And we went to actually stick a pin into the SIM card slot.
Electrocute you.
And it wouldn't come out. And we were like, why is the SIM card not coming out? And then after a little research, find out that they can remotely lock it into the phone.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. You mean like that hold the phone, like has little fingers in it that holds it?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would I not be surprised? There's little bitty Apple employees inside your phone that can hold, that could actually hold your SIM card in place for you.
See, that is crazy to me that I can buy a $500 phone and I don't have access to take out my SIM card and travel with it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I can believe it, though. I hate to say it, but I can actually believe it. But I didn't. So now you can. And I, who is it? AT&T is now unlocking older iPhones for you.
Yes.
Okay. So for you, who knows about that? Because I don't know anything. I know I read it, but does anybody know any more details about it? Like, what is it? Out of contract or?
Yeah, it's out of contract phones in good standing. So if you, let's say, bought a new phone, you still have your old phone, you can take in your old phone and get it unlocked.
Okay. All right, so for those that have one that's going out, you can now actually go ahead and knock it out. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. That's a good little feature. What other apps or things we have socially we need to talk about? We're at 45 minutes. Anything else? Any big news? Any big apps you guys want to cover?
We got to talk about Google Plus.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, the last one, everybody. Google Plus. Corvita should have anything about this. They changed their UI, and I will start out with the first vote. Too much white space, it blows.
I disagree. I like it.
Okay.
I also like it.
Corvita?
I like it. Damn, I think it's too much white space, too. There's definitely room for improvement. But surprisingly, I love the visual appeal of it.
It's
have a blog post ready for it tomorrow.
It's super clean.
I love the visual appeal.
I agree with that. It's super clean. I just think that the size of the white, could I move stuff? Is there a way I could actually, you know, take advantage of this huge area that's on there? But I do like the menus down the left. I do like that stuff. For those that still aren't on Google Plus or at least logging into it for some bizarre reason, besides the fact you can add us to your circles. I think, did we share the Social Geeks as a circle?
We haven't shared circles.
Okay, we need to share. I think I made a circle.
Yeah.
We'll do it. So everyone get on there. So you'll be able to find us on there. The idea is that they've changed the menu down the left side. They have created, like you said, a better, cleaner UI. I do like the way it highlights pictures more, things like that. They show you what's trending on Google. So you're able to go into Plus and actually pull up all the posts about a topic because the trending is there, which is pretty cool. New Google Plus is actually on its way down. They show you an arrow. Is it trending up? Is it stable? Or is it trending down? That I thought was really cool.
That's pretty awesome. That is cool.
Right. So it's green going up, gray going down with a dot means it's stable. So apparently the Hunger Games is stable in trends right now.
Well, I saw Britney Spears on there earlier today and I thought it was broken because has she done anything lately?
No, that was a bad one. What about Axl Rose? He is like at the top of the trends right now on Google Plus. I don't know why. It's there. Well,
we will find out.
Yes.
He declines the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
No. And number two is uses for white space. That's the number two.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
So, Corvita, you just posted this afternoon about TechCrunch, their article. What did you think?
You said for Google?
Yeah, about the TechCrunch article. And you posted about it. You said it feels more like Facebook and Twitter with a Google interface wrapped about it. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, the layout makes it more streamlined with what you would expect when you come on Facebook or Twitter, and they're pulling from it. To me, it's a mixture of Facebook and Twitter elements that people have come to love, like the trending topics. People you may know, that's actually a creep factor to me because, yes, you know those people, but the reason that you know them and you haven't added them is because you probably don't want to. So I always hate that section. But the people you might like, I'm cool with that. Everything else is pretty much what you see in a standard social network these days. But to me, the design of it is very simplified, which is Google to me. That has Google written all over it. So that's why I felt like it was Twitter and Facebook in terms of what I would normally see when I go to those sites, just wrapped in Google's on their personal design style.
Now, do you guys, let me say this about Google Plus, and we're not going to worry about it as a network. I will say that the mobile apps aren't that good for Google Plus, even on Android. They're just not that good.
Not on iPhone either. I would agree. It needs some improvement for sure.
Now, one guy posted at 5:52, Terrell Clark, a great visual of the new interface. He has three monitors, so he's an Uber geek. It looks like it has it's office chair in front of it. He has three monitors, and he maximizes browser window. The left-hand side on the far left is Google Plus. The right-hand side is his online friends. The whole rest of all the windows is white.
Yep. There were some posts earlier, so I've got a lot of the Google employees. We're in circles together. They're planning some stuff. They said that they've got some good plans for the white space because they know that people are complaining about how much white space there is, and there's some other use for it. And they have definitely come forward and said that it will not be used for ad space, because that was a big concern people were having. It's like, whenever Google starts throwing ads on this, is that where they're going to put all the ads? And they definitely said no. So they said that they're coming up with good uses for the space, but that the problem with dealing with white space on the side like this is that it's going to be different for everybody. So what do you want there?
Sure.
Give me widgets to put there.
Widgets. But then you get a whole bunch of mess with something like that.
I think so too. And I was just telling, when I opened up my Google and logged into Google today, it's like iGoogle pops up. I hate iGoogle. It sucks. But I've got all these widgets all over it. And I just want them all to go away, because I don't care about any of it.
I'm okay with the white space. I actually say leave it.
Then what would you put there?
I don't want to put anything there. I think that it's nice that I don't have to look across my 27-inch iMac screen to have to see a whole interface take up my whole screen.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're going to find out what everybody thinks about it. There's a video also we'll put a link to, this guy Lamar Wilson. Apparently a lot of people liked it, about I hate change and like Google Plus. It's just a funny video. It's more of a satire than it is a, you know, total complaint about it. But I do like the Plus One. That is a little more faint until you click it, and then it becomes the nice, you know, red, like your notification. They actually blended those now, so you don't get rid of the goofy stripes. That's kind of stuff is nice. The share, starting the hangout, it is very obvious now. If you want to talk about a post, you can just click start a hangout about this post.
Right.
And you can see the activity. So you're right. I think things like that really, really have made a visual improvement compared to previously. I'll give you that one. Definitely.
I just love the look of this. I like the grays, and then the things that need to catch your attention are in red, and it works.
Okay.
I agree. I like it too. The only thing I would complain about is that the comments need to not be dark gray on light gray. Because I found myself always leaning forward to read them for some reason because of that color scheme.
And somebody has already made a plugin to the Google Chrome extensions library to fix that.
Well, everyone should know that Lamar's post on here is him asking Google that he wants some black space on his post.
Yeah,
it's a good satire. Even Scoble linked this one. It's a really good satire that he put in there, like I said. So that's a real good one to have. And I will say this: I found a little bit of a bug with it when I clicked share. It kind of threw the screen like 50 different directions and lost some of the focus. So
there are still some bugs in this layout.
Yeah, there's a few little issues here, and I'm trying to get it back, so no big deal. What else about the UI? Anything else change major you guys want to point out?
I haven't gotten to try Hangouts. I don't know if they're any different.
They look the same to me when I played with it, so.
Yeah.
Aha, there's this thing. It threw it way over here on the right. It's very bizarre, so that's all right. I'll put it in there, and I'll go ahead and share it for everybody. So add us to your circles. That's something we never promote very much, but all of us are on Google+. We all welcome you to share us to your circles and connect with us. I think every one of us has a public profile, if I'm correct. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I just added Michael to my circle today.
Yes. Oh, well, you know what? I probably don't even have him in a circle then. Robert? Oh, he added me back. Apparently I had him in a circle.
You two are hilarious. Quite often, you two are absolutely there. So everyone remembers the beginning of the show. They're sitting together in the same room on the same computer, just so you know. They don't need a circle on Google to be close to each other.
Oh, right. My God. Exactly. That sounds wrong.
That didn't work. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize if that didn't sound right, but it sounded good when I was saying it. So how do you guys find us? You say us, find us individually. We'll cover it in a second, but the Social Geeks on Twitter, we actually post every time the show comes out. Please be subscribing to us on iTunes, as well as, you know, subscribe. Let's see, where else are we? We are on YouTube out there when we have video shows. We're on iTunes. You can find us there. We're in numerous podcast directories. We have the Twitter account, and then individually, let's run through. Michael, where do they find you?
You can find me at Michael Cummings on Twitter, or Michael Cummings on Facebook, or Michael Cummings on Google Plus.
What about Instagram?
You can't find. Well, actually, you probably can find me under Michael Cummings, but I haven't actually used Instagram in about 6 months.
I just wanted to throw it out there. So, what about you, Robert?
Robert Murray everywhere. My blog's robertmurray.me.
Excellent.
And I'm not searchable on Facebook, so good luck finding me there.
Right. He's under Murray Robert. Is there anything project wise you two want to bring up before I move on to Corvita? Is there anything that you guys are doing big that you want to talk about? Or can you talk about?
No, talk about yet. Maybe in 2 weeks.
Like your story. You sound like Wayne Sutton all of a sudden.
No, I'm in the same boat. I got something that I'm about to alpha test, but I don't really want to talk about it yet. But
that's fine. I just give you that. We make sure we have the opportunity. Corvita, what about you?
Well, I'm at Corvita on everything, and I do have something coming up.
See.
And I will be able to announce it probably later this month. I think on the next social geek, I will definitely be able to announce it.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
We gave no content.
I appreciate that help right there. That was perfect.
No problem. Anytime.
Chris, is there anything that you want to tell us about that you're working on?
What are you working on?
I can't tell you about that right now, unless anybody wants to give us funding. If you want to give us funding, I will tell you all about it.
How am I supposed to know if I want to give you funding if I don't know what it is?
Because you're going to have to sign a whole bunch of agreements. My listeners don't sign nothing. Everyone listens to us doesn't sign a thing. No, actually, we have one thing I can say is that we have a ton of app review shows that we already put out from South by Southwest. What we're doing is tearing through the apps that launched, as well as more that's going to be coming out in the next week or so. We had a lot of videos we did. We do want to thank Paul and I want to thank not only the studios, the Samsung studios, for letting us sit in there. They gave us the studio access 3 times while we were there. Also FedEx, because for those that don't know, there's always free food at South By, and FedEx has an awesome food truck. Well, their social media person let us record at the food truck, like in front of it, using the, you know, gave us boxes, and we had a great time with those guys there. They didn't even know we were recording. Actually, FedEx employees were walking in front of the cameras. We had a good time with that one. So those will be out also in the next week or so. But as for other news, yeah, no, I can't tell you yet.
All right.
I can't say it, but you can find me as at I Do Notes everywhere. And I'm on Instagram. I just don't take pictures with it now because I wanted to make sure I had my name. And if you don't have your name, I would get your name. But you know, like, if you don't use it, for those that are listening to us and like, I'm never going to use it, secure your name.
In a year, it's just going to be tied to your Facebook anyway. It's Facebook login.
Mm-hmm. How many of you? Okay, so let's bring that. We've got 3 minutes. How many of you actually have a vanity URL on Facebook?
I do.
Corvita?
I do.
Right, because people that listen, if you still have a number, go get yourself a custom vanity URL.
Yes.
What that means is you'll have facebook.com/something. Now, it's permanent. You can change your funny person name inside of it, but your URL is permanent. You're not allowed to change that. So pick something good. But what you'll find is then it's easier to find you. And who was
actually you're allowed to change it once.
Oh, once. Oh, my fault. I thought couldn't change it, right?
With near a billion users, though, it's going to be really hard to get your name now.
Correct. Mainly if you're Bob Smith. But the point is that you should, you know, go ahead and secure a vanity URL. Get yourself, you know, identified on there if you want. And, you know, start building that digital preference. Oh, and you can find me. Pelpina Tripp did an interview with me for Frank Watching. We did a video show that I'll throw in the links. So we did a really good interview at South by Southwest, and I appreciate Pelpina sitting down and interviewing me while we were there.
Cool.
All right, gentlemen, you guys hang on. Everybody else, another episode down. You will talk to us shortly, and let us know what you guys think, not only about the Google Plus, but about PlaceMe and the purchase of Instagram. Is $1 billion too much? Or, you know, what do you think it should have been valued at? So everybody tell them goodbye, and we will talk to everybody in a couple weeks.
Later.
Maybe we'll wait for Corvita. And she's not there. There she is, peace.